Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is a beautiful, clear Tuesday afternoon. Remember, the Stones are coming to Jazz Fest. I'm Scoot on the air. The Jazz Fest password of the day is po' boy. Not poor boy, but po' boy, P-O-B-O-Y. It's derived from the word poor boy. And years ago, during the Depression, but when things were really tough, The po' boy sandwich was it was big, and it was this was a story I heard. It might not even be true, but it's a great story. It was such a big sandwich that it was a good deal for a poor boy, and so that's how they named it, and then they just shortened it to po' boy.
Your boy took a sabbatical from WWL Radio many years ago and started a food tour company and learned all about the origin of the po' boy.
Yeah.
Benjamin and Clovis Martin were the progenitors of the famous New Orleans sandwich. They were former streetcar drivers, and then they decided to get out of the streetcar driving business, and they opened up a little coffee stand, and they were, you know, selling sandwiches and stuff. And then I think it was 1929, so you're right about the era, all the streetcar drivers went on strike. Which was a big deal. You know, it's kind of at the dawn of the automobile era. So the fact that there's no streetcar running, you know, really was very disruptive. And so people were upset at the streetcar drivers. And as former streetcar drivers themselves, Benjamin and Clovis Martin said, oh, we're going to show a little solidarity and we're going to start giving away sandwiches to the striking streetcar drivers because they're not working. They're not earning any money, but they still need some to eat. So they would take French bread that was kind of on the stale side that they wouldn't sell to their regular paying customers. And then they would just kind of throw whatever they could onto the bread, like bits of things that had fallen off the grill, you know, like roast beef debris.
Like not onto the floor.
No, not onto the floor. Just, okay. You know, just like bits and pieces of stuff that weren't making it onto the actual sandwiches. And then they would put that on the bread, and then they would give that to the striking streetcar drivers out the back door of the shop. And this word catches on, and all the strikers are like, hey, you can go get a free lunch over at this little coffee stand. And then so the workers in the kitchen started to say, oh, here comes another poor boy asking for their free sandwich. And then poor boy became po' boy and yada, yada, yada.
Great, great bit of history.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, I was close.
Yeah, you were damn close.
Close, but that's interesting. Interesting background there. Anyway, the word is po' boy, P-O-B-O-Y. So go to our website, WWL.com, and sign up to win tickets from Miller Lite and WWL. Miller Lite is the official beer of Jazz Fest. All right, let's see. We've got some new polling numbers on the presidential race. Not much different from yesterday. This is from Real. I keep messing this up. Rear.
Wow. That's a different website. Don't go to Rear Clear Politics, please.
No, that's
not
it.
On your work
it
computer.
Is a different one. That's right. Not suitable for work. It's Real.
There you go.
Clear. Politics. All right. It's a running average of the polls that are out there. And yesterday, former President Trump was at 44.5%, and Biden was at 44.2%. That's 3.3 tenths of a percentage point difference. Well, today, Joe Biden is getting a little closer. Trump is at 44.6. Biden is at 44.4. And of the seven battleground states, Trump leads in six. Biden only leads in one, which is Pennsylvania. So we're talking about these polls. And since Biden is behind, if we really were out to promote Biden, we wouldn't tell you about polls where Trump is leading. And, you know, if you think about it, all the news that's out there about the trial, we're talking about the Trump trial very minimally. I mean, we're not talking about it very much. We're going to have some, you know, highlights now and then. But You know, if we really wanted to bash Trump, we could bash him a lot more than we do. We talk about Trump when he's in the news. Also, the blog that I wrote after the show yesterday is posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can read it on our Facebook page, on our website, and then go to my Facebook page and comment on it, and I'm going to read some of those comments a little bit later this hour. It's about something we talked about yesterday. Is a kids' festival the right place to wear a T-shirt that might incite people because the message is political? And we talked about this guy at the Bucktown Seafood Festival in at the St. Louis King of France Bucktown Seafood Fest. And the shirt had a message on it, just a regular dad trying not to raise liberals. And I just wondered, you know, why bring a political message to a kids' festival? Anyway, somebody posted on my Facebook page that I took a picture with the guy, and I clearly remember the picture, but I did not read his shirt. You know, I mean, I'm not looking down, you know, reading shirts, or as I said earlier, I'm not looking down, looking at cleavage. If a listener comes up and talks to me, and I get stopped fairly often, and I'm looking the listeners in the eye. Then I look this guy in the eye, quick picture, and then he's off. I did not read his T-shirt. So it looks really weird that I'm talking about this guy, and I didn't say anything to him because I did not read the T-shirt, even though I'm standing right next to him. Some people think I'm lying. If you want to think that I'm lying, that's fine. But it is possible that I was just talking to the guy, looking him in the eye, and I just didn't even notice the T-shirt. And I didn't notice the T-shirt until I got home, and a friend of mine took a picture of me, and he was in the background. And that's when I noticed the T-shirt. Anyway, go to our website, WWL.com, check it out, and then go to Scoot on the Air Facebook and comment on it. Marjorie Taylor Greene is so PO'd at the passage of the foreign aid package that she and a handful of MAGA Republicans opposed it, and she says she's going to issue a dire warning that MAGA voters might just stay home on Election Day. Ooh, we're really scared, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, they're going to really listen to you? Listen, if MAGA voters stay home, that's going to probably ensure that Joe Biden wins the election. So I don't think MAGA supporters are going to stay home. Also, I noticed this interesting feud, and this is another example of, say, I mean, I think Ben Shapiro, conservative YouTuber and talk host, I know he's a conservative. I don't listen to his show. I think he's got a podcast and some things out. He's very, very popular with a lot of people. But I always considered Ben Shapiro to be on the right side of being conservative. But he's kind of representing mainstream Republicans when he's calling out Tucker Carlson. And he's calling out Tucker Carlson for being just a total liar. And calling out Tucker Carlson for, you know, creating problems. So, you know, here we've got more of a mainstream Republican against a right-wing radical, Tucker Carlson, who's a known liar. So I think we're starting to see signs of this. And over the weekend, Tony Gonzalez, a Republican representative from the state of Texas, he was on one of the talk shows on TV over the weekend. And he said he works with a bunch of scumbags, and he's talking about right-wing radicals. So we've talked about this a lot on the show, and now we're seeing more mainstream Republicans stand up to the right-wing radicals, which I think should be done. All right, so according to Public Opinion Strategy's new poll done for NBC, Joe Biden is now 9 points ahead of Donald Trump when it comes to people who actually voted in 2020 and in the 2022 midterm elections. Now, these polls are done of people, Republicans, Democrats, okay, what's your opinion? But they don't usually ask, did you vote in the last election? So here's a poll specifically of people who voted, they're active voters in 2020 and 2022. And among active voters, Joe Biden leads Donald Trump by 9 points, which is well beyond the margin of error. Also, Joe Biden is losing support of younger voters, 18 to 29. And, you know, here's an example of us being honest about Joe Biden. This is negative news about Joe Biden. And if I was really here to promote Joe Biden and down Donald Trump every day, I wouldn't tell you this. I mean, that's the strategy of conservative radio talk shows. They just leave out information that's true, but they leave out information because it's damaging to their candidate, Donald Trump or any Republican. But, you know, we're honest here. So among 18 to 29-year-olds, Joe Biden in 2020, Joe Biden had a 23-point percentage lead over Donald Trump. Right now, as of late March, among 18 to 29-year-olds, Joe Biden only has an 8 percentage point lead. So he's losing younger voters. And the reason? The economy. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. We're going to talk about some of the protests that are taking place around the country, and it seems like protesting is in the air. But first, let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Our favorite contrarian, 6695, says, I stay home for every election. Not worth the gas usage. Politicians are evil criminals. Trump would become a Hindu if it helped his campaign. Ultimate clown.
All right.
Tell us how you real feel, 6695.
Yeah, really. Talk about cynicism.
Here's a text that says, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a piece of work. If you take her brain and place it in a bumblebee, it'd fly backwards. Which is funny, but I don't think I get it.
No, I hear that. I hear that metaphor used a lot.
How does that work?
I don't know. I think we
can explain that.
I think we could update that a little bit. I know I can't explain it physically, but I think we could come up with something better. If you put Marjorie Taylor Greene's brain in, what would happen? I mean, we could come up with something better than a bumblebee the bumblebee would fly backwards. So let's work on that.
Yeah.
If you put Marjorie Taylor Greene's brain in, what would happen?
Here's a text that says, this is about Ben Shapiro and the sort of more mainstream Republicans. They should have taken a stand a long time ago. The damage that Fox and Donald Trump have done to this country over the last 6 or 7 years is criminal, the way that they have worked unsuspecting citizens.
Yeah, I agree. And we've talked about this for a couple of years, and we're finally seeing it happen where some mainstream Republicans are standing up against the right-wing radicals. And I don't know why it's taken this long, because the right-wing radicals do not outnumber the mainstream Republicans, and the mainstream Republicans have been, you know, cowering down like, you know, when I say anything, I'm afraid to say something about Trump, I'm afraid to say something about this because something might happen. I don't, you know, why are they so spineless, man? Stand up to these people and take your party back.
About these protests that are kind of popping up all over the country. Here's a text that says, just like the Black Lives Matter and Antifa protesters, these pro-Palestine protesters are being allowed to hold up traffic in some cities, make direct threats to Jewish students, and force colleges to cancel class on campus for the rest of the semester with their direct threats. And this is only being allowed to happen because these pathetic protesters are Democrat voters. You know I'm 100% right.
What do we want?
I don't know.
What do we want?
I don't know. You know, there's always somebody on a megaphone, a bullhorn, saying,
you know, what do we want? Duh, duh, duh. Yeah. What do we want?
I've never been part of a protest. I know you have been.
Oh, I've been to lots of protests. Yeah. And let me tell you, they are pretty much universally in need of new chance. Yeah, we know the people united will never be defeated. Okay, we get it. We get it.
Yeah.
Here's a text that says, the Republicans are now speaking out about the radicals because in the beginning they used them as the bullies to try to get their points across, but it only makes them look stupid, and now they want to push back.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why it's taken so long, but it is interesting that it's happening.
Okay, somebody's explaining the bumblebee metaphor here. Due to small brain, because it fits in a bumblebee,
okay,
and it flies backwards, poorly functioning. So there's not some greater, like, biological bee thing we're misunderstanding. It's small enough to fit in a bumblebee, and a bumblebee flying backwards would be indicative of, you know, some sort of serious problem.
Okay.
So,
obviously,
I think that's it. Okay, good joke.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. And, again, the second day of a testimony happened today, and you know, people are saying, I think there's a headline that read, there was a pecker on the witness stand today. No, Donald Trump has not testified yet. So, David Pecker. Oh, okay. Well, now I understand. Yeah. And you heard in our news that Donald Trump didn't disagree with what Pecker was saying. He just remained quiet about that because there was a use of the National Enquirer. There was a use of his publication to help Trump get elected. Also, we've talked about the possibility of a new law. It's probably going to happen that will ban the use of handheld cell phones while driving. And also, should New Orleans, like the French Quarter and parts of New Orleans, be exempt from the state's new constitutional carry law going to effect this summer? You know, I heard in our news just now, I heard there's a group that is protesting the ban on handheld phones, saying that, you know, that's an infringement on our liberty, that we should have the freedom to do that. Well, when it comes to driving, there are rules and regulations. Why doesn't the group argue, why are there speed limits? There are speed limits because going over a certain speed might be unusually dangerous to other people. Using a handheld cell phone might be unusually dangerous to other people. So, you know, if you argue for one, you have to argue for the other, because, you know, having to drive the speed limit is an infringement on the liberties of people who want to go faster. And yet that is accepted in our society. If you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870.
And when we come back, we will talk about some of the protests that are going on around America. I'm Scoot on the air on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It's beginning to look a lot like the 60s. Anti-Israeli protests are growing, and there's a group of climate change activists that are planning a big protest coming up in June. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. At Berkeley University, boy, that was a site of some real strong protests back in the 60s and early 70s. And it's kind of fascinating to see the parallel of the major protest back in the 60s and early 70s was anti-war protesting, protesting against the war in Vietnam, protest against the government. And that's what these protests are. They're anti-war protest, and they're essentially demanding for a ceasefire. We'd all like to see that. And they're standing up for Palestine. Free Palestine Camp is one of the groups that's protesting at Berkeley. Former President Donald Trump is condemning the anti-Israel protesters as a disgrace that are all Biden's fault. And he said that going into court today. So, yeah, it's a big deal, and the pro-Palestinian protests are impacting some major American universities.
Columbia University has canceled in-person classes while the university seeks to cool down tensions, with large crowds of protesters outside its gates. The president of New York's Columbia University says the Middle East conflict is terrible, but there cannot be one group dictating terms on the campus and trying to disrupt graduation and other events. A rabbi urged hundreds of Jewish students on the eve of the start of Passover to leave their campus for safety. Meanwhile, in Connecticut, several dozen protesters have been arrested at Yale University, and the University of Southern California canceled a planned commencement speech by a valedictorian who publicly supports the Palestinian cause. I'm Jackie Quinn.
This Columbia University professor is very concerned about what he's seeing on his campus.
I care about all the students, you know, whether you're Jewish, Muslim, Asian, you know. And I think it's disruptive for everybody to have, you know, this kind of hate speech going on, sending a terrible message to the rest of the world about Columbia.
And this Yale University student says the protests have a specific goal.
The core of the protesters' message is that Yale must divest from war manufacturing, an institution that's dedicated to creating community and academic excellence, that has no place funding a war machine that spreads across the entire globe.
This sounds exactly like the protesters in the late 60s and early 70s. Exactly. I mean, exactly the same ideology. I mean, it's like a repeat. And I think it's very ironic that the generation that was protesting back then, the baby boomers, the anti-establishment generation, as they were known as, They're the establishment today. This ACLU attorney, Ben Wisner, is dealing with the war protest, and he says that these are some of the hardest decisions that college administrations have to deal with.
They have a responsibility, and in public universities, a legal responsibility, to ensure that people can express their views, even very, very offensive views. But they also need to protect students from targeted harassment, threats, and intimidation. You should understand that tensions and emotions are high, that students are looking for an outlet for those emotions and for their strongly held political views. And if the protests are peaceful and if they're not disrupting campus life, we would say calling the police should be the last resort.
You know, I just find this really fascinating. I mean, I was kind of young at the time and innocent, but I kind of knew what was going on, and I paid a little attention to things back then. But the Vietnam War protesting the government because of the war is very similar to these protests that we're seeing. And for some reason, I'm sensing that protest is just in the air. And I think we're going to see more. And I think we may see other things that are going to be protested. Climate activists, there's a group of climate activists, Climate Defiance, and they're calling for a historic blockade of the congressional baseball game. The annual competition between the Republicans and the Democrats, getting ready for that was when Steve Scalise got shot a few years back. This group is saying that we, society, humanity, are careening into an abyss. The decisions that we make now will reverberate, not for centuries, but for millennial. If we do not act now, boldly and swiftly, millions will die from storms and from starvation. And that is from Climate Defiance, the group that wants a historic blockade of the congressional baseball game. You know, I'm all for peaceful protesting. I'm not for blocking streets. I'm not for blocking entrances to interstates. So if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Lafayette. Charlie, I want to thank you for hanging on. Welcome to WWL.
Well, hello again, Scoot. Nice to hear your show. I'm driving back. I wanted to tell you I got a chuckle out of the text where the guy said Trump would be a Hindu if it would help his campaign. I started busting out laughing.
You know, well, we know it's true.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. You know, I sit there. You know, looking at all of this, I remember the protest because I was like 12, 13 years old, but I was very aware of all that Vietnam and all that in 68, you know, 67. You also had Martin Luther King assassination and the racial strife. So you had a lot of things going on at the time. So I remember it very well, you know, and I agree with you that I'm for peaceful protest, but not blockading or, you know, you don't have the right to blockade somebody. You have the right to protest. And, you know, I see, you know, there's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot to be concerned about, to be quite frank with you. But here's the other thing. These protests against, you know, the Palestinian protests and all that are not Joe Biden's fault, like Trump says. He's full of BS. That's just because a lot of these people aren't necessarily Biden voters. You know, that some of them probably won't even vote. So, I think that people, you know, looking at this, you know, it's just typical Trump noise. You know, and I've looked at, you know, the presidential election, and I know you're talking about some polls. I go by my gut feel. It's 1968. And right now, I have, just by gut feel, with a low confidence, about a 4, maybe a 5, I have 280 electoral votes to 258 by Trump, and I went through every state. But I also have a ceiling of Trump, because they're so close, a 338, a ceiling for Biden, a 333. And events, everything can change, you know, and if Biden doesn't, you know, Biden not getting some kind of control of the border would help him out a lot, because inflation is the fault of George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Trump, and Biden, because none of them all of them added to the debt and dovish Fed policy where they finally raised interest rates contributed to a lot of this, you know, so I think that it's going to be a close race. I think the Republicans will lose the House. I think the Republicans will get the Senate. So I think we'll have divided government, which is what I think we need right now, because we showed you in Louisiana when you don't have divided government what's happening. Yeah. And I'll talk more about Jeff Landry the next time I call in.
All right, Charlie. Listen, I appreciate your comments. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to more of your calls, and we've got some texts coming in as well. You know, Charlie brought up some, you know, interesting things. I mean, obviously, Charlie is not a Trump supporter, and you can call our show if you're not a Trump supporter. You can call our show if you are a Trump supporter. But I really have this sense that just where we are in America, there's this great American divide. But in addition to that, I think protest is in the air, and it's going to be interesting to see if more protests start to develop against the war in the Middle East, and then also just maybe with other things as well. We'll see what happens. I'm Scoot, but once again, we're asking the question, what's going on? We'll be back on WWL. You know, America was built on protest. There were protests in the beginning, there are protests today. There's nothing wrong with that. But it should be a peaceful protest, and I hope things don't get ugly like they did in the late 60s and around 70, 71. And, boy, you think about the protest at Kent State University in Ohio, and I think this was 1970, four students were shot, and I think it was four students shot and killed. The National Guard opened fire on the students protesting, and even though the students were throwing rocks at the National Guard people, nobody knows who gave the order to fire on the students. But can you imagine the National Guard being brought out to protect an area or a university during one of these protests, and the National Guard opens fire and kills some of the students? That was no less horrific back then than it would be today. Let's go to Terry in Slidell. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
A couple of things. The protest back in those days was against the United States government for men being killed in Vietnam.
Right.
Well, we have no U.S. soldiers over there, so if those protesters want to protest against Israel and everything, let them go to Tel Aviv and protest against the Tel Aviv, I mean, the government in Israel, and I guarantee you they ain't going to walk away because they can all be in jail because they don't put up with the stuff that we put up with.
Well, Terry, that's why I think protesting is just it's in the air. I mean, I think that there are people. I think this was a good reason to rally people and help some young people express their angst. I don't think that's a legitimate reason for the protesting, but I mean they have their legitimate reason for it. But I feel like people were looking for this opportunity to just express these views. And for this to be, for in America, for there to be anti-Israel protesting is very unusual.
Also, Scoot, you said something about, you know, I'm get off that. That's something else I want to say about the handheld free cell phone thing. We can't talk on the phone. Well, I told Ian we need to do is try to find a group that can make a razor look like a cell phone look like a razor, so you can be cutting your beard, look like you're cutting your beard, but you're really talking on a phone. Or the women could have one with a hairdryer that's really a cell phone, but it's a hairdryer or a curling iron. You know, are they going to stop people from making whoopee in the car while they're driving? Are they going to stop people reading, going across the twin spans with a newspaper across the dashboard?
I've seen that. I've seen that on the causeway, and it's just amazing. But, Terry, what you're doing is you're bringing up just so many examples of distracted driving, and we already have a law that bans distracted driving or holds you accountable if you're distracted while driving.
How would you like to see this? A guy driving a motorcycle, a Harley, holding the steering with his knees, and he's talking on the phone going down Regard Boulevard.
Well, I have seen people on motorcycles on a cell phone. I haven't seen them steering it with their knees or with no hands, but I've seen them with one hand and they've got a cell phone, and I just can't think of anything more dangerous than that. And I admitted that there are times that I have used a handheld cell phone and I shouldn't because I know it's dangerous, but most of the time I use a Bluetooth. Gregory and Metairie, you're on WWL.
Hey, Terry just kind of did it, but I probably don't have much, but I'm kudos to Ian for straightening up where the poor boy came from, the Martin brothers.
Interesting history.
And, the original one was Ian was good at it, but they would use the debris in the gravy to soften up that old stale bread, and they'd put French fried potatoes on it. And that's the original poor boy. It was French fried potatoes with roast beef debris gravy.
And that is the Jazz Fest password of the day, poor boy.
I know. Well, it should be P-O-O-R, boy. But, you know, everybody, you know, it's been bastardized over the years. Tom Fitzmaurice, one of your contemporaries, who used to be an old friend of mine, poor guy, he's not in good health anymore. He never calls it a po' boy. It's always a poor boy. And he would always go into his spiel about how much he loved the Martin brothers because he kind of knew them. He's much older than me. He's probably around your age, I guess, which is kind of old. Anyway, you do remember the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. I was a little kid. I was 7 years old in 1970. I was five in 1968, forever. But what Terry said from Slidell was true. I mean, we were just sick and tired of men being slaughtered over there for no real good objective. What's going on here is probably a war by proxy. You can argue that. The United States does send a lot of military and financial aid to Israel. But let me tell you, somebody who's been to that region so many times, there was no Palestine before 1918. It was a part of the Ottoman Empire. They were all warring tribes, these Bedouins.
Well, they still are. I mean, they still are.
Believe me, see, what they're doing is Israel's their common enemy. Because if Israel wasn't there, they'd still be killing themselves. You ought to read Lawrence of Arabia's book, The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. I mean, these people are nuts. They're berserk.
Well, Gregory, I don't know that it's fair to call them, you know, nuts. But look, you've got like three prominent religions all claiming that this land is their land. And that's just one of the most basic problems here. All right. Coming up, we have a text off. But boy, here's another song that really, it fits today. But this is from like 1968. It's about protesting. You know, and some of these songs that reflect negativity of the past should not be relevant today, and they are. I'm Scoot. The text off is coming up next on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.